B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up? Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
ARs over here, they pop like gold bottles. 47s over here, they pop like gold bottles. Ain't no, you know, in your sex and you got no bottles. We winning over here.
Well, it's been a while since we've done this. Go to the Volkswagen Dealer Expert Hotline. And welcome in Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports. Jared!
Oh, you guys remembered my number.
I love that. Like
we asked Toucher.
He always does this stuff.
We asked Toucher and Rich for it. They gave it to us.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Burn. Jared, let's start with this before we talk about you becoming the bench coach or third base coach of the New York Mets. Let's talk about what happened yesterday with the 33-5 vote in Major League Baseball. I asked the question to start today. What would the motivation be for the players to vote yes yesterday, assuming Rob Manfred puts in a 60-game schedule, as it appears he will? What would have been the motivation to vote yes for players yesterday?
It's a good question because, I mean, obviously it's overwhelming in the favor of no, and the reason for no is because the players want to still retain the right to pursue legal action. So I don't know why a player would say, yeah, no, we're cool with, waiving our right to pursue any legal action after all this. That seems misinformed to me. Like the ones that were opposed to it or in favor of it it just seems misinformed.
Jared, you've established a lot of relationships with guys over the years, and you've done a good job doing that. Without naming names, from the ones that you have kept in contact with lately, what's the feeling you get? Do you feel like they want to play or not play? It's getting to the point where they might as well just shut it down.
First of all, what's up, though? Second of all, I think a lot of these guys, it's all over the place. It's literally all over the place. I've talked to dudes, position players are more lax about it. There's been like an all-star MVP caliber player that's basically working out and preparing like World Series game one is tomorrow. And then another one that is just as good. That's like, yeah, I haven't picked up a bat since they told us to go home in March. There's been, pitchers that are like, yeah, like I'm throwing bullpens and like I could be stretched out right now to throw like 4 innings if the season started tomorrow. Like I'm throwing 2 innings, like sim games or whatever. And then there's guys that are just like, yeah, I'm kind of just exercising, but I'm not really throwing that much. And I think when that sort of happened, when pitchers were shutting it down, that was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago when it looked like the negotiations were going to hit such a halt that there would be no season whatsoever. So I don't know in terms of like where those certain guys are at now. Like, did they ramp it back up knowing that there is going to be a baseball season? But yeah, in terms of like players being prepared for a season to start and, you know, they're showing back up in a week or so. It really does depend on who you ask in terms of like who's busting it, trying to stay in playing shape, and who's just like, yeah, I'm just kind of sitting around like waiting for them to tell me where to show up.
Do these guys believe that if they get back, they're going to be able to finish the season? I know that's come up in recent days.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys are prepared for either no postseason, and then the other alternative there is that I do think that there's, I don't want to say it's likely, but a chance that's higher than probably most would think of a neutral site postseason. Like if they have them in like a bubble or something like that. That seems to be on the table. But in terms of like, can they play July, August, September and not run into issues? Yeah, I think they can do that. But then once you get into like late September and then into October, is there a chance that they shut it down? Is there a chance that they move everything to a neutral site and move away from everyone still playing at their home ballparks? Yeah, I think that there's a good chance of that as well.
Say games do start, and these guys are told no high fives, no fist bumps, no spitting, no chewing seeds. Two guys are on. Some guy jacks one. He rounds home plate. It's the game winner. What, do they all walk off, or is it going to get back to normal? How do you see this all shaking down if we do play baseball?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see that, because I know you guys are obviously up until 4 o'clock in the morning watching the KBO, and you've seen what I've seen, where guys, like, they were literally doing a segment talking about how players are not allowed to spit on the field. And as they were saying that, like, the dude in the batter's box just, like, spit. So they're creatures of habit. I know that there was Justin Bour. He was the dude that, like, popped a bunch of homers for the Marlins a couple of years ago. He's playing in Japan, and they're just doing, like, air high fives. So they're, like, kind of conditioned to doing that. I would imagine we're going to see a lot of that, like, dude doing, like, air high fives and whatever. I mean, you're not going to be able to stop. The players that are dipping, they're not going to stop doing that. I mean, like, they made the rules that you're not supposed to anyway, and you still see, like, the dudes from Texas are out there with the tin in their back pocket, and they got the big wad in their mouth. So, in turn, like, you're going to have to pick your battles with these guys. You know, you're going to, what, fine a $30 million a year player, like, $1,000 because he spit? Like, it's just not feasible.
Jared, our beloved Red Sox are not the same team now that they were last season. The roster is obviously very different. Does a short season give them a better chance at being a playoff team, a better chance at having success once they potentially do get to the playoffs? How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think we're going to see. The thing about the Red Sox this year is that we're obviously soured by what we saw last year, where they weren't as bad as their record showed. I think they kind of just got off on the wrong foot, and they were unable to recover from such a horrible April. But now you don't have Chris Sale. You don't have David Price. You don't have Mookie Betts. So I think we'll probably just see more of the same, where the offense is just so good and they're going to be scrambling. And the other thing too is, you know, you are going to have deep rosters. It's going to be a battle of the depths with this short season, because you're going to need arms, and I don't know if the Red Sox have those. So that's going to play a factor, where either there's injuries or there's fatigue, or you're going to have guys early on that aren't going to be able to give you 6-7 innings. But every team is going to run into that. I don't think that's a problem that's isolated just to the Red Sox, but, you know, when you lose a Mookie Betts, David Price, and Chris Sale, like, yeah, it's probably going to be a tough go. I'm thinking they'll be above 500. I don't know that we're looking at a playoff team in 2020, but, you know, we'll see.
You mentioned Mookie Betts. I've been saying for the last few weeks, I hope there is a season. I hope Mookie Betts hits free agency, and I hope that in free agency, the Red Sox go back to him with maybe even the exact same offer they gave him a year ago. Now, that would seem extreme now, given the current economic situation, but is there a window for the Red Sox to go out and bring Mookie Betts back to Boston?
Yeah, and that's why, you know, the Red Sox might be terrible this year. I don't care. Just play one game, reset the luxury tax so that you can go out there and actually make a run at Mookie Betts. If I'm Mookie, though, knowing what the economic climate is right now with just the entire country, but also in baseball, I'm probably going to take a one-year deal. Like, I don't know that if Mookie Betts is turning down $300 to $350 million from the Red Sox, and then he goes out there, his first crack at free agency, and teams just don't have the $400 million that he's looking for, I'm taking a one-year deal, and I'm going to see what free agency looks like next year. I don't know that that's his plan. I don't know if that's what is actually out there. Maybe teams sort of scrape together some money and still make a run at him, knowing that other teams that would have been in on him can't afford him right now. But, yeah, I think if I'm Mookie, I take a one-year deal. And if that's the case, you're probably going to have more suitors for 2021 than you would have had otherwise. But there's no reason why, if this season actually gets underway, the luxury tax resets, that the Red Sox shouldn't be in the mix for being the top bidder. And that's where he's going to go. I don't think it's a matter of team or city or whatever preference. It's whoever's the top bidder, that's going to end up with Mookie Betts. But it'll be interesting to see. Does he – you know, do the Red Sox make an offer like that, Beetle? I don't know. Is that
give
something
them the
that
290. Give him the $290 million again is what I would do if I were them. If he had accepted it a year ago, they'd already be paying it to him. And I know things have changed, but that would be the way of sort of showing him that you still think he's worth it. And I think that would probably be one of the best offers out there, if not the best offer. $290 million, 10 years.
Out there, but if that's the best offer, you're probably taking a 1-year deal, right? Because you don't want to put your tail between your legs and be like, I'm just going to go back to Boston with a deal that I already turned down.
Yeah, but if he's reading the tea leaves, he knows that offer of $350 or $400 is not coming in the next few years. He should know, and his agent should tell him that. That offer is never going to exist for him now because he's going to continue to age, and it's just not going to be there given where the game is going, labor unrest, economic unrest in the country outside of just baseball. I think that he'd be crazy not to take that if they put that back on the table.
Potentially another work stoppage. Obviously, the players and the owners are not exactly agreeing with each other right now. So if you have another work stoppage in 2022, then it's like, all right, well, I mean, you're only taking numbers away from my potential case to make a maximum amount of money here. Yeah, I could see him doing it, but I think it would be wise for him to consider the 1-year deal, and I don't think he takes less than what he already turned down from the Red Sox. And you're talking about $300 to $350 million. If a team wants to pony up for that, would he take it? I think he would have to strongly consider, given also like the circumstances that we were just talking about. I don't know. I think it would be not surprising whatsoever if he strongly entertained a 1-year deal.
All right, Rockin, I'm glad we found your number again. But when you went on this little sports station back in the day and you became our baseball guest in the 10-2 slot there for that entire spring and nice little run there, and then you get full-time hired by Barstool, did you ever think down the road that Dave might be getting in bed with these rumors with A-Rod, J-Lo, and the purchase? That was a minority purchase, to be one of those minority purchase members of the New York Mets. Did you ever think that day would come?
I've never been more convinced in my life that
is this real or not?
I think it's real, and here's the thing,
I do too.
I think it's real. I don't know if it'll actually pan out and end up happening, but it's brilliant for Dave to lean into it because now, does he have the money to get involved? Yes. Is he the favorite to be in this ownership group? I mean. Steve Cohen is still the guy with all the money. I mean, if he comes in with the best offer, no one's going to be able to top that. So he might not even have a say in the matter.
Listen a second. Dave's more interested in hanging with the J-Los and the A-Rods and the schlepping around with them than he is the actual game of baseball, right?
For sure. And I think with Dave, I mean, he's always going to love the Patriots. But, like, the Bruins, he's admittedly bandwagon. The Red Sox, he'll tune in if they're good. So now it's like, Dave has the opportunity now that Tom Brady's out of town and maybe the Patriots are good, maybe they're not, but they're definitely like the AFC championship game is no longer going to be the see if you can beat the Patriots to get to the Super Bowl challenge. So if Dave can get involved in professional sports, like this is a guy that just adopted day trading on a whim and dominated that. Like he just has this insatiable need to win, and if he's a Red Sox fan, it's not the Red Sox winning. It's about Dave winning. So Dave needs to win. That's why he buys horses. It's because Dave needs to win. So I can totally see him getting involved in buying the Mets. But even if he doesn't, the publicity that he's getting is worth millions of dollars. Like if he's on the bottom line of ESPN and they're talking about a potential ownership group and then they're throwing his name out there on every single sports site, even if he doesn't buy it, people are talking about it, and that's a good thing.
And what job are you going to angle for when this happens?
So I said first base coach, but I think I want third base coach because first base, I feel like they have more responsibilities outside. Like they have to do like the stopwatch. Like I'm going to be like checking out chicks in the stands, so I'm not going to be able to like measure everyone like in terms of like their home to first time. Third base, you're basically just you're monitoring the outfield for guys tagging up, and you're the guy
wave
that
in
is
Wendell.
In charge of
wave them in.
I'm going to have to wave them in, and I'm also going to be in charge of a lot of different handshakes. Like we're going to have different like home run handshakes. So like that's going to be my duty if Dave buys the Mets. I've already campaigned for third base.
Well, it definitely would not be the director of Rock, Paper, Scissors. That's for sure. You're not going to
Well, apparently, Beetle, apparently you've tuned out because after I lost 30 straight, I'm on a 13-game winning streak. So can we talk about that?
Yeah, what's that? What's that put your winning percentage at?
That's not important. That's not
important. All right, Jared. Always good to talk to you, man.
One last thing for you. What the hell? Like, give us the back to the real quick stuff. Is this K. Marco Minahan thing, is this thing real, not real?
Oh, no, it's very real. It's very real. I kind of figure – I'm surprised it took this long for Kirk to go full nuclear on someone at Barstool. I mean, it's happened before in small doses. Like, he had this big rivalry with Willie Colon, and then they became buddy-buddy at the Super Bowl in Miami. But this thing with K. Marco, it's very real, and it's rubbing a lot of people the wrong way, and we'll see what happens.
All right, Jared. Jared Carrabas, thanks, the Rocket.
Thanks,
Stay
guys.
Hot, Rocket.
Miss you.
Miss you too. Jared Carrabas with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. All right.
So people are like, well, what the hell? Who the hell is this K. Marco? K. Marco is the editor, right, for Barstool Sports?
Yes.
Like, he puts the content out. And see, yeah, Minahan got into a cologne, and he got into somebody else too. I think it was KFC. But that's Kirk. Like, Dave wants to win and buy things and win that way. And Kirk wants to just blow things up. That's typical. So this thing's real. That's good. I guess it's creating some division down there. You pick one side or the other. So we'll see how this thing ends up.
All right, let's get back at it. And we've got some other things we want to get to today. Our thanks again to Jared Carrabas. There is some things to get to this hour before we get to this date in show history, and that is the NFL. Internally, there are teams saying they want to do what Zoe suggested yesterday, which is push the start of the season back. Why do they want to push the start of the season back? More on that That's coming up answer. Next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What was it, a Nextel commercial that used this song years ago?
I don't know what it was. It makes you go. It gets you going. It's like them and CC Music Factory. You're going to sweat. Like, those two get you going regardless of the day.
I think Nextel used this in a commercial for Push to Talk.
Back in the day.
I remember being a pretty funny commercial, too. Now I want to go YouTube that. The NFL, their season is on schedule right now, but, several teams want to push it back. This from Burt Breer, NFL Network. Here's what he writes. One thing I will say, teams that have wanted the start of the season pushed back aren't going to get quiet about it in light of all that's happened over the last few weeks. Quote from one team exec, that's the first place you have to start. I'm big on pushing back. We need to push back the start, said another. Bert writes, the reasons why it makes sense are pretty obvious, but I'll lay them out here. Number one, it would give the NFL an opportunity to study. And by the way, I want to take issue with this line. The reasons why it makes sense are pretty obvious. No, they're not obvious. They are not obvious points because there's this little thing going on called COVID-19, and all indications are for medical experts is that it could get worse the deeper we get into the cold weather months. So let's not talk about how it's an obvious case here, okay? Just want to say that, Bert. Number one, it would give the NFL an opportunity to study the final results in European soccer and evolving data in baseball, basketball, and hockey. and importantly, identify some of the potholes those sports may drive into the coming weeks and months. Okay, that's not a good enough reason. That's not a good enough reason to study the final results from European soccer. By the time the NFL season starts, all those other leagues will reportedly have already been going for 6 weeks. So they'll have 6 weeks plus those sports training camps to study by the time their regular season begins. Number two, the league would also then be able to study what happens in college football, with NCAA coaches allowed to work with players starting in mid-July and fall camp set to open for schools in early August. Number three, a vaccine probably isn't coming this quick, but it would buy time for more and more reliable testing and the development of therapeutics. Well, how far back are they planning on pushing this season back, Bert? Into next March? What are we doing here? Number four, it would give the league flexibility to build a full-on acclimation period into the calendar while preserving the preseason.
Oh, that's the key. Let's preserve that awesome preseason.
Let's make sure we preserve preseason games. Number five, the league has the flexibility to move the Super Bowl back in February, so starting the season in early October would still allow for a full slate. He writes, I'd add here that the league office has been resolute on starting on time with its teams, but it sure seems to me, at least considering this alternative, would be smart. I haven't heard a good reason yet. I haven't heard a single good reason in the five bullet points why pushing back is the right idea. I'll wait. Zoe, what's the good reason?
The reason is I was going to do it and talk about it based on injury and the ability for this quick start where all of a sudden you tell teams to not work out in groups, even though some are still doing that, and
Tom
to stay away and let's not throw routes. Let's just visualize everything. Good luck getting ready to start an NFL season working out yourself, because guys are going to show up and you're going to be popping hammies, quads, Achilles. It's already happening everywhere, breaking foots. You're important players. You're starters. It's happening across the league. You need that rev-up period is more important to me than, uh-oh, something's going to happen in August. We need to avoid that to where we got to push it back a month. Because I think you're already starting to miss some windows here for getting together and do things. And that would be my reason for wanting to push it back. This is for altogether other different reasons. You're going to study Premier Leagues. No, you're going to watch college football and see how this thing progresses. This has nothing to do with the NBA, nothing to do with the NHL. Nothing to do with golf, nothing to do with NASCAR.
No, European soccer. You gotta get the final results from European
soccer. We need
that.
Yep, we need
very
that.
Important.
Hey. How those
We've all been up? Saying that, haven't we? We've all been saying. The
how
NFL needs to
figurines?
Take a good,
hold up?
Hard look at European soccer to make this all go.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a lot of contact, and that guy pulls his little leg, and they throw the flag up, and they come out with the hearse.
Well, you seem to think it has mostly to do with injury.
Injury revving up, yes.
Zoe's saying that they should be given more time to
work out,
have workouts and prepare for a season.
Physically.
And not that they should start everything late, but that they should get back to work as soon as possible and have more time before they have to play
a fully
competitive game.
You have the potential between 16 to 20 if you count the preseason. They'll probably lose two games and be around 18. You got 18 train wrecks you got to get ready for. Car wrecks. Your body's not ready for that. You haven't even squatted with your
buddies. Aren't ready for camp either. Camp injuries are as commonplace as week one injuries.
Right.
So what's the difference?
Get them saying, because Zoe's saying don't start with camp. That's why.
Push them back a month. Give them a mini. Do what the college is doing. Bring them in. Test them for a mini camp. Do a three-day mini camp.
Zoe's talking about doing basically the activities you would do in the springtime.
Reset your calendar. June all of a sudden becomes July.
Right, where it's conditioning, it's running, it's light workouts, and then you ramp up to a camp, which would be, let's say, mid-August or early September.
And by the way, since we have you here now and all this
time
you've
missed. That's
the best
reason. By the way, Burt doesn't cover that. He doesn't cover that, and he doesn't cover the fact that teams might feel like they're unprepared to get people up to speed football-wise. Like, those to me are actually reasons we could talk about. But European soccer results? Just shove that. Get out of here with that nonsense.
Yeah. Get your vuvuzela.
Oh, I want to see how things go in baseball. Like, what? For what? You're going to deal with all the same problems.
They just want to wait, Beetle.
Let's just wait around.
It's Michael Corleone. Where's the $2 million in the briefcase your brother Fredo bought? I just want to wait around.
All this dragging of the feet to me is what is bad, because I feel like the sports have maybe possibly missed part of the window to do something.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to fear with football.
Yeah.
But what was the window? Where's there been a window?
Well,
it's progression.
It doesn't feel like a window now, but right now might be the best possible time to be doing something. Again, that's assuming that things get worse down the road.
But they are doing things. Clemson had a bunch of players show up, and 23 of them tested positive.
Yep.
So it doesn't seem like much of a window down there. Much of a window in Florida, where they've closed baseball facilities, and members of the Tampa Bay Lightning are having. I don't see a big window. There are pockets. There are pockets of windows in some places that are better than others.
Let's take the NBA, for example. If the NBA had been able to get down to Orlando on June 15th, and they were already there, and they had the guys tested, and they were trying to, again, their bubble, which I use the term loosely, they would be ready to go sooner than what they're going to be. That's all.
Maybe LSU and Clemson and those teams are a hell of a lot smarter than everybody else. Maybe like Ed Ogeron, the head coach at LSU, saying, let's get these boys in here. We'll give them the COVID. Get 30 of them get COVID. In 2 weeks, they'll be good. We'll start our Oklahoma drills in 2 weeks. Full-on tackle football in 2 weeks. That's how we're getting ready for the season. It'll be so far ahead of Iowa State and Wisconsin and Clemson. Okay? That's the way we're going to do it. We've got big, strong, strapping kids. We'll be ready to COVID in 2 weeks. Some people are saying that. Like, get them together. Let them get it. Let them get rid of it. And let's go play.
I got to tell you, the idea of testing positive and then quarantining and then doing contact tracing, quarantining those people, I'm starting to get the feeling. This is where we're at right now. And this is how
we're there.
This is how we're treating people, right? This is how we're treating the teams now and treating the facilities. That's going to be safe. This isn't going to stop. And if it does ramp up again in the fall, what they're going to have to do is to echo some thoughts of someone else. You want the numbers to go down? Stop testing, and you only bench somebody if they get real sick. You only lock them out of a facility if they're sick.
Asymptomatic, keep coming in.
Right.
Come on in.
Yeah, asymptomatic positive tests are going to continue to draw this thing out to the point where we won't have seasons. And maybe that's I don't know what's best. I don't know what's right or wrong. But testing every day and then finding people who are positive when they don't have any symptoms and then making them sit out for 2 weeks and then quarantining people they've been in close contact with for a period of time. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to practice, much less have a season if you keep it up like this.
It's nuts. We don't have answers. They don't know.
They do. They're going to have to make a decision is, do you go back to how it was before if somebody came in with another illness, whether it was a cold or the flu or food poisoning or whatever, and you said, tough it out, play through it, whether it's contagious or not, and you did that, or whether this thing is something that they decide is so much worse, which apparently they have to the point where it's like, no, we're not going to treat this the same way, because I don't see the windows, Beetle. I don't see the windows of opportunity. I don't see how starting the NBA in next week would have helped them with what's going on in Florida right now. The downturn in the summer months. Not seeing it around here. Yes. Okay. Good. But maybe it's because we're outside, and now in down south and some of these other states, Arizona, Florida, they're going inside, and that's why their infection rate is going up, and they're testing more. But if you're basing off a test and who's got it and who's spreading it around, it is not cycling down nationwide to the point where you can say, well, finally, we can plan on doing this at this time. I don't see it. I don't see that happening.
Okay.
Here's what you would
fear. It sucks. I can't believe I'm saying it, but I don't know how it's going to happen based on the protocol in place.
My guess is, and the thought is, that that rate is going to go up dramatically in the coming months.
Probably. And I'm not comparing the two. I'm not comparing the flu to COVID.
And so I think we're going to look back, as crazy as it sounds, Hardy, I think we're going to look back at this period in time and say, oh, things weren't so bad then. That was that was a chance
when you
to do something.
Give me the flu.
And this is not the time to be doing something. Let's get to headlines. We've got something from a former retired Patriots coach on the current Patriots quarterback, Jarrett Stidham. You'll hear that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
You know, those young guys, they take some time. But I would say this for Jarrett, too. You know, he's a bright kid, and he's a guy that when he doesn't know, he'll take off. And he showed in the preseason last year that, you know, he's got some skills and he knows when to get out of there and where the escape points may be. And when he gets out of there, he also knows when you better get down, because he knows better than to try to run through guys as well, because you're not running through many guys in this league. So there's going to be some growing pains. There's no doubt about it, but the guy does have skills. He's got a great mind. He cares. He shows up early. He goes home late. And I wish him nothing but the best.
Former Patriots offensive line coach Dante Scarnecchia back into retirement for Dante. He's there in an interview on Sirius talking about Jarrett Stidham, Patriots quarterback. Just on the way he talks about him, do you think he believes he's the starter?
Yeah.
Feels that way.
Yeah.
Feels that way a little bit.
Dante was getting some mulch the other day. Saw him.
What's
the other
that?
Day. Dante was getting some mulch. He has a pickup truck and older pickup trucks, actually. Just a real simple one. And a couple bags of mulch in the back. So he's having fun doing yard work and hanging out with his grandkids.
You're kidding me. Like, that's what he's doing. He's doing the mulch now. Love it.
Cleaning up the house, yeah.
Hashtag regular guy. Good
for
him.
He's got a beach house, too, so he's not too regular. But.
Oh, okay. well, good
nice
for
house.
Him. Either way, good for him.
Yeah.
He says that he wishes him the best. Obviously, he likes him quite a bit. Everyone seems to like this guy. He seems like a very likable dude. But football-wise, I think he said there, when he doesn't know, he takes off. Is that what he said?
Yeah. When he doesn't know what he – that means if – okay, the clock's running down his head. His first read's gone, second read's gone, or maybe I'm not seeing something clearly. What do I do now? I take off. I run. And he's talking about making plays with his legs. Now, what happened last preseason, exactly that. He'd slide up and get down and slide. And a little different on the road in Seattle, first, third, and seven, you take off, and you're gonna get your head taken off. That's the fine line as to, yeah, know when to run and when not to run. You know, sometimes it's better off just covering up, going down, take the sack, instead of just full-blown sprint up the middle, and all of a sudden you get trucked from the right because you didn't see that bus coming. Those are the ones that hurt. You know, you're trying to call the play, and there's a ringing in your right ear. It doesn't go away for a while. But smart, shows up early, leaves late. Reminds me of somebody else at a very young age, and that was Tom Brady. Same stuff, right? But guys like him. He likes being there. He's fun to be around. Seems like he's a pretty good leader. He's continuing to do that now. You know, he's hanging out with the right players right now, linemen and receivers. Those are your friends. Befriend them. Kid can move. I mean, he's got athletic ability, but let's not forget, he got shell-shocked that last year at Auburn. So it's not like he hasn't been hit before. And that's what you got to coach him up on. You got to coach him up on getting rid of the football. Make a decision, get rid of the football. Make a decision, get rid of the football. And how many times did we see Brady last year run up, and it was frustrating? He'd start running because he knew the play was dead, and he'd just throw it in the ground at someone's feet. Now, people didn't like that,
Hey, what's he doing? Yeah, well, second and 17 is better than, you know, or second and 7 is better than second and 17, you know, after a loss. So throw it in the ground, get out of it. So
yeah. I thought that was pretty good praise from Dante Scarnecchia for Jarrett Stidham. You know, say he has a great mind. If he has a great mind, that's half the battle right there.
Well, that's the problem, too. And it's so specific to the way they teach it with Andrews and the quarterback. So Scar's the guy that tags everything and communicates up front.
Yep.
So when Jared's up there and he dictates who that mic is, Andrews looks back. He's going to call the protection. Now to Jared, it's not just going to be 60 or 64. He's going to call the protection. And then Tooney's going to give a call, like a Liz, Rip, or Tag. He's going to hear the line call. So Jared's going to have to envision what blocking style my left guard and my right guard are going to use. That's where you start really advancing stuff. It's one thing to know who the mic is. Young kids will point out the mic. Okay, you got who the mic backer is. It's 60 protection. Let's roll. Brady would know line calls. He would change line calls up there. And that's where Brady would get on the same page with Andrews. Like, Brady would be like, you don't tag this. We got to rip. We got to Liz. Louie. You know, stop. Brady, move up. Stop. Louie. You want a Louie call. You want a fan. You want a fan out. Fan out means you've got outside defender. And that's where it's all got to come together for Stidham. And that's where Dante was really good at teaching those specific calls to each individual lineman. And that's why they were so good at communicating on the road in noisy, hostile situations. Because give it a look. It's a sign. It's a tap. It's something here or there. So, yeah, we'll see.
All right, let's get to this date in show history. That is coming your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Take me away. I don't mind. But you better promise me I'll be back in time.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Gotta be back in time.
Today is June 23rd. We go back in time in this Dayton Show history.
Indeed we do, Beetle, and we will begin in 2017, 3 years ago.
Let's roll.
Apparently you guys, I don't remember Zoe ever watching a video on his computer while he was in studio. While he was supposed to be doing something
really?
Else.
Oh my God, it's the monkeys and the coon.
Let me guess, the monkeys and the raccoon, where the raccoon tries to run away from the monkeys?
Nope. Okay. This time you were both watching a video.
Okay. You're
watching a video of a guy getting hit by a truck.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Well, I don't remember the video either, but the important part was immediately after you watched the video of a guy getting hit by a truck, which you found to be very comical, you had to do a live commercial read.
We're so happy. We're so happy this morning, right, Zoe? We're happy. I know. What happened to mine? What's going on here?
Some guy just got hit by a truck.
Something
on TV.
Broken? Is it mine? Is it mine or is it yours?
Hey, you think he wish he had on to go order?
I wish.
I bet his coffee will be sitting there for a while.
I bet it would. it's all about Dunkin' Donuts this morning. $1.99 for a medium beverage. Any medium beverage at Dunkin' Donuts, right?
If I'm him, I get iced. I get an iced coffee, put all the ice on his head. That's right. On the go ordering for your
$1.99.
Yeah.
Right now at Dunkin' Donuts. Download the Dunkin' app and enroll in DD Perks today. Why wait in line? Speed past the line. I want to watch the video now. What video is that, Zoe? What was that video? I want to watch it now.
Yeah, now I want to know what the video was.
That dude got trucked. He like stepped right out in front of it. He's looking one way, and he looked the wrong way, and he stepped out. He got run over. Oh, God.
Okay.
That was Dunkin' Donuts sell pancakes.
What year was that? That was 2017.
I'm
gonna see if I can find that video again. All right. Whatever it was, we watched.
Let's see if we can derail another. Wait until you're going into a live commercial read, though, Beetle.
Okay.
If you really want to recreate the experience. First, though, we're going to go back 4 years ago, 2016. Zoe and Rich were hanging out.
Oh.
Do you remember where you were hanging out with Rich Schertenlieb?
Yeah, Mansfield.
That's right. Yeah. 4 years ago last night, you and Rich went to a Def Leppard concert where Zoe was making some interesting claims about his playing days.
Do you mind if I use this for the radio?
No, not at all.
What do you think of Toucher and Rich? The morning show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I don't like them.
You don't like them? Do you like Toucher and Rich?
I do not. Sorry.
And Fred Toucher's an ass, isn't he? Such an ass. I said the same thing, you know?
He's an ass.
That's right. What do you think of Rich Shirtley?
He's a little better.
Just a little bit. Get your idea out. Rich Shirtley, Toucher and Rich right there. Yeah, you guys feel like asses. Oh, you feel so stupid right now. That's Rich.
I know that's Rich.
I'm Scott.
Yeah.
I was AFC Player of the Week like twice.
I am so much better at the man on the street interviews than Adolfo has ever been.
You ask some very leading questions, though.
You always start off, do you mind if I use this for the radio?
How about you hate Fred Toucher a lot or a really, really lot?
Do you like Fred's stories of when he goes away and he has disasters on the airlines?
That would actually be a better question than the ones you were asking, I think.
That's easy.
I can't find the video of the guy getting hit by the truck.
I don't know what it is. That's really a shame.
Someone knows what it was.
Yeah, we'll tweet it out for you.
So apparently it was a little over 4 years ago that Bill Simmons' new HBO show debuted.
Oh, that thing was a train wreck.
Yeah, I don't remember. I never watched it, but
it's so bad.
It didn't seem like it lasted very long. But his first guest on his debut show, do you remember who that was? Ben Affleck.
Oh, that's right.
Which leads me to Deflategate.
Deflategate.
Is this the ultimate Boston sports story that ever could have happened? Us against them.
Deflategate is the ultimate bull outrage of sports ever. It's so stupid that I can't believe. You realize they gave him a suspension for a quarter of the regular season, which would be equivalent of suspending a baseball player for 40 days, 40 and a quarter days,
yeah,
exactly. Which is what they do for when you get busted taking steroids.
Right.
It's at 40 and a half games, but okay, I get what you're saying. Go ahead.
And by the way, if the NFL had a real test season, if really knew how to test for steroids and HGH in the
NFL,
there'd be no NFL.
Right.
So instead, what they did was suspend Tom Brady for 4 days for not giving them his cell phone. That's and for having a friend who called himself the deflator. And Tom is so classy.
So you agree it's a smear campaign?
It's a ridiculous smear campaign. And Goodell now doesn't have the integrity, I want to say, frankly.
You can absolutely say that on HBO. I don't know if my old employer would have agreed.
Doesn't have the decency to just say, you know what, this is stupid, I was wrong. This is ridiculous.
Just shorten that up to integrity now.
Integrity?
Jeez.
Oh. He's like, integrity.
Spill my drink everywhere over your
feet. You got the scores on that thing.
Do you have an ice bucket in the green room? You have an ice bucket back here with tongs to put some ice in the drink?
Oh, man. Poor Ben. I hope he's doing better.
But, of course, in typical Bill Simmons fashion, I mean this as a compliment, I think Simmons made a ton of money on that show despite it failing.
He's made a ton of money.
Like, I think they had to just give him the money anyway.
Yeah.
Guy, everything the guy touches, he makes money on. It's unbelievable.
Right. HBO was paying like $5 million a year or something.
Oh.
What did you say, Zoe?
I said he's got a horseshoe up his butt.
Oh, yeah, man. Everything he touches.
Boom.
Well, gold, not in the sense
not
that
necessarily
it's great.
Explodes. It gets compensated for.
Monetarily speaking, yes. It's gold. Everything he does.
Well, I for one, enjoy when somebody who is an upstanding individual, honest dealer, somebody with
integrity,
gets rewarded, you know. Finally.
Yes.
The drops.
Oh, boy.
This isn't a joke this time. This is a serious, like, constructive criticism taken, worked on it. This is the real deal. This is how
I don't believe you.
I'm dead serious.
Okay.
All the drops compiled from 23rd of June in this show's history.
Guys were coming at me from behind and from all angles. There was a chance they could get back into that game with a Xander Bogut. I almost said Bogut's.
Yeah, kid. Woodfire Pizza. You know it.
How you doing?
Good.
Carol on the Mass Pike. Carol, go ahead.
It's Carl. Hey, anyways, I got fireworks. You boys want to light them off tonight?
Starlight. Starbright. Starlin just hit one with all his might.
And for them, later on, to say I could not even have a second interview of the most important person in the case was just
a lack of cooperation.
A lack of cooperation.
Who was feeding that guy his takes?
That was Ted Wells.
That's who that was?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, someone was feeding Ted Wells what to say?
Yes. Yep.
I don't remember that.
You don't think they got hoodwinked, huh?
A lack of cooperation.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, my God. Mm. Oh, man. Oh, good God. That's a good Ooh. Sounder, though. What do you think of that, Hardy?
It's better.
It's better. And I'm not being a jerk. It's just it needs to be a little longer beep. Right now it's a blip.
Longer and louder. No, right. It's too.
I think
blippy.
Maybe a little louder.
A little louder and a little right. longer.
A little louder.
Beep.
I'm watching a video that might be the guy getting hit by the car. This guy gets struck by an ice cream truck. Is that
Yeah. Send it to me.
He dances in the street.
Put it on Twitter. Get the ice
is that the one?
Yes, put is it on one? Twitter. Now, put it on Twitter.
Are you sure it's the one?
I am sure. That's the one. I forget what truck. It's ice cream truck.
Does it start with him standing in front of a black car?
Yes.
I can't remember that.
We've gotten multiple tweets saying it has to be the teach me how to Dougie with the ice cream truck.
That was it. The Dougie thing. Yes.
He backs into an ice cream truck. And it just crushes him. Why would he do this? Why would What an idiot. Or a food truck
That's
or something.
So good.
He gets blasted. What an idiot.
I might go on rotten.com after this, watch people get hit by trains. This is good. Come on. Put it on social media.
I just did.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.